Municipal Utility Commission meeting to order. Today is Monday, October 25th at 11:45 a.m. Mr. Scott, are you on the line with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. And to start out, we do not have our secretary here with us today, so I'd ask Commissioner Johnson, are you willing to act as secretary for today's meeting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any changes to the agenda? If none, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from October 11th, as well as bill payments in the amount of just about $2.4 million. Mr. Herron, anything in bill payments to take a look at?
Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Unless there's questions, I do not have anything further to add on the bill payments.
All right, I'd look for a resolution for approval.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second for approval of the consent agenda. Any discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. Next up, we're looking for an authorization of the Priam expansion in an agreement with GRE, and I will turn that over to Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Chair Mattern. So this is for the Priam substation project. We're adding some additional 115 breakers out there to accommodate the growth in the area based on some planning studies that we've discussed prior. This work is for GRE to do mostly programming and configurations of the RTU data equipment out there and then perform some testing on that equipment that they program. The total cost for this is just under $95,000. $5,000 of that is for equipment. Mr. Scott did point out to us that at the top of the agreement, they say the services will be performed under an existing O&M agreement, which was signed in 2011. But then in this agreement, they also include some of their insurance and liability terms. And so my request would be that with the commission's approval, it would be contingent on negotiating those terms to agreeable terms for both WMU and GRE. Are there any questions on the agreement?
I have a question. So the majority of it, or 97% of it's labor. Mm-hmm. Is it up to that amount, or is it just that amount? Would they be showing hours of work and bills from hotels and travel, or how does that work?
Yep, so this is an estimate for the work performed, and they will bill us on their hourly rates, which are published each year, and they do do the lodging and travel, and we have a clause in here that it must follow the government IRS publication 1542, which is the per diem rates.
Okay.
So they'll submit their receipts for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Scott, being that you're on the line with us, I know Mr. Smith had stated that he's looking for authorization contingent upon the negotiation of some terms. Is there anything, Mr. Scott, from your viewpoint that you'd want to point out, or anything that you'd want to make us aware of?
Sure. I guess I'd just first comment that I think the commission has on occasion approved simply the scope of work and the price for a services agreement like this previously, and allowed staff to work with our office to make sure that the final language is acceptable to both parties, and I'd say that's what we're going to do here. And first, you know, as Mr. Smith pointed out, there's simply a matter of clarification we need. It appears in one point to say that the terms that had been agreed to in a previous agreement from 2011 apply to this work, but then they've also applied their standard terms and conditions, which have some limitations and liability that the city might want, or excuse me, that WMU might want to seek changes to. So I think first we just need to determine what are the terms, and if it's the 2011 agreement, I would recommend just not including the standard and terms and conditions in what WMU ultimately executes here. But these are details we can work out with GRE. I think we might have even done so with GRE previously on a different project.
you for your insight. All right, with that, we would be looking for a resolution for approval of the agreement contingent upon the negotiation of terms. Commissioner DeBlee, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one question on this. It seemed like it's a pretty open check blank for the labor charges here. Is there, we have any more checks and balances other than the fact that they're going to notify us if they overrun? They're just going to notify us and send us a bill?
They invoice monthly. And during this project, I'll have a lot of oversight on who's out there and when and for how long, that type of thing. And then there's the actual commissioning where we energize the substation, where you get a good feel for what work is done and what work isn't. So that would be our typical approach to how this happens.
As long as there is some kind of check and balances on what the labor charges actually are versus what they perceive to be, you know, it's like, so.
Yep, so with GRE, because like you stated, it's big dollars that we're talking about. So I look at every invoice and I look at the hours and the rates that they charge, and I have an understanding of, like I said, who's been on site and for how long. And I've actually questioned them on a couple different bills, and they had some ways where they actually hire interns and reimburse interns that kind of raised some flags to me, and we worked through getting that clarified through their accounting department. So
okay.
I do keep
mm-hmm. All right. You need a motion to approve the agreement?
Looking for a resolution, yep.
I'll honor that resolution.
I'll second it.
We have a resolution and a second. Discussion. Commissioner Maskey.
I'll just say, I mean, if we had an agreement since 2011, we've worked with them many, many, many times. And if they were to treat us poorly, I would imagine we would remember that.
That's correct. And actually, that brings up a good point. One of the reasons that we go with GRE for this work is because they have such a good understanding of our facilities out here, and because they do perform really good work. If, like you said, we weren't happy with what they do, we would look elsewhere first.
And Commissioner Muskie, to expand on that a little bit, Jaron, correct me on the percentage, but we hire them to do on our hourly rate, stated hourly rate, they do what, probably 95% of our work on our substations or better.
At the transmission level, yeah, it's almost all of it.
Yeah, so, no, we keep close tabs on them, and up to this point, we have always been pleased with the quality of work and the timeliness of their work.
Yep. Further discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Commissioner DeBlee.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Muskie.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you. All right, Mr. Smith, I'm going to let you continue on with our professional services authorization to reconfigure the PRIAM substation capacitor bank.
All right, thank you. This memo here was pretty brief, so I'll try to explain it in a little bit more detail. But when we get into capacitor banks on the transmission system, that's about the most complex engineering you're going to see in the power system realm. So the PRIAM capacitor bank came online in 2018, I believe, when the PRIAM substation came online. And we initially had, I believe, two outages on that cap bank early on that first summer. And we determined that there was a time delay setting that wasn't configured properly and that was resolved. Well, the following summer, we got two more outages during the hottest days of the year. It was over 95 degrees, I believe. So we had to take another extremely close look at what was happening there, and it was determined that unequal solar heating is the problem. So we've got three phases in our power system. If you call them A, B, C phase, there's a structure for the A phase, and it's got 12 individual capacitor banks that make up that phase of equipment, and then it's repeated for the B phase and the C phase. So that's oriented north to south. As the sun kind of stays to the south, it shades a portion of the capacitor banks on that first rack differently than others. And the way the protection scheme works is it checks the voltage going into the string of capacitor banks, and there's another instrument at the end where it checks the voltage at the end. And all things normal, it should be very close. But once that voltage starts to deviate, then it says, okay, there's something wrong internally with one of the capacitors and we need to trip before it explodes or starts on fire or something terrible happens. Well, the sun, if it's shaded on part of it and not on the other part, will cause that voltage to change to a point where it needs to trip. And that's what they've discovered here. So options, you could shade the whole thing, but it's 30 feet tall and 30 feet wide. That's not very practical. Plus, we don't want it to tip over and, you know, cause a fault on the substation. We could reconfigure it so that it's faced in a different way, but that would require new footings, and we'd have to take the whole thing down, put the whole thing back up. Fortunately, there's another solution where we just change how it is wired and change the protection scheme we use, so that voltage differential being implemented will be different in a split Y configuration versus the single Y configuration, which we're in right now. So after we looked at this thing front and backwards and upside down, this is the solution that we've come up with. And it would be for GRE to do more programming settings changes on that protection system. And then we need some equipment from Eaton, which is the capacitor bank manufacturer, to make that change. And you may ask, well, why didn't we do that in the first place? This single Y configuration that we started with is a little bit more robust, so we can actually lose certain number of capacitors before the bank has to be taken out of service and repaired. In this new configuration, the split Y configuration, we don't have as much flexibility to lose a certain number of capacitor cans before we have to take it out of service and make the repairs. Any questions on that?
Sharon, thank you for the update. Commissioner Meske.
I'm going to try and ask a question. If you are lowering, then the sensitivity of this system is my understanding. If you lower the sensitivity of it, are we vulnerable to anything that would have occurred in that lower change in the voltage in and out?
So what we are going to be doing is we're going to be more vulnerable to a capacitor can failing, but less vulnerable to voltage differential.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
I think so.
Okay.
Additional questions? I have to say it's slightly mind-blowing to me that equipment across the nation that sits outdoors 24/7 in all kinds of climates is this sensitive to shade. But, Jaron, how confident are we that this truly will fix it? And is this kind of reconfiguration something that they've had to do elsewhere because of this kind of a thing?
Yeah, so again, we've had a lot of long conversations on this, and based on when it's tripped and when it hasn't tripped, it's only been on, you know, the couple hottest days of the year. And the testing that we've done after the fact to make sure all the capacitors are in their normal parameters, all the instrumentation is in their normal parameters, so it's not a different problem that we're seeing here. I'm confident that this is the right issue and that this is the right fix for the problem. What kind of surprised me is how quickly they came upon the solar heating thing, because it is quite rare, is my understanding, and I believe that's because GRE has faced this recently at a different substation where they had the same problem and had to come up with the same fix. So I think it's probably going to be considered by GRE in a lot of future substation work that they do, and obviously it'll be on my radar too, but we probably won't build another capacitor bank on a transmission line in quite some time. So.
Okay. Further questions? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval.
I'll introduce that.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Discussion. All right. Second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next on the agenda, we've got our August 2021 cost of power report. Mr. Radell.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm here today to talk to you about the cost of power for August. It's pretty straightforward, as you can see. In June, we had a cost of 7 cents, 9 mil. In July, 8 cents. And again, in August, we had 8 cents. Now, the big thing that I'd like to bring your attention to is the very bottom line, where we're talking about the August 2020 cost of power. I'm sorry I don't have that graph on there for the actual bar graph, but in August of 2020, the cost of power was 7 cents, 8 mil. And although compared to 2020 and 2021, our KWH purchases and our overall demand were almost identical for both years, the increased power supply cost from 2020 to 2021 in our contracts had increased, and so our total cost in August increased by 2 mil from 7.8 last year to 8 cents this year. And so I don't know if anyone has any questions, but I'd be happy to answer anything that that you might have.
Any questions? Pretty straightforward.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mr. Marty, do you have any good news for us on this today? Oh, you love giving these reports, don't you?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So the wind turbine report for September. As you can see, we're having some issues with turbine number 3. It's got a gearbox output speed sensor fault that we've been chasing for a while. Finally narrowed it down and have the part found, sourced a part, got that on order. We're hoping to see that late this week. So turbine 3's availability for September was 68.3%. We expect that to creep into most of October. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but 3 may be standing still. It's just gotten to the point where it's tripped out so much we just can't keep it going. And 4 had a decent month in September. The 90.6% reflects our annual maintenance that happened during September. So total kilowatt hour output for both units, 444,730. Moving on to the year-to-date number, we're sitting at 4,306,133. So we're hoping to get turbine 3 up and running here in the next couple weeks, and then hopefully have a windy November and December. And they typically have been good output months. So I'd certainly answer questions if you have them.
Thank you, Kevin. I don't see any burning questions, so we're going to set you free. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we are on to the general manager's report. Mr. Heron.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Mattern. House Bonding Committee, October 19th, went extremely well. We didn't have a lot of time. They're running a little bit late. There was 3 different presentations given, with WMU having one of those 3. So very receptive. 2 questions that they had for us. One was a ranking, where we ranked on a priority list. And with that, we are in the funding level. We ranked 358, I think, is what the value that was assigned by application, which is in the funding range. And the other question that surfaced was, how renewable or clean is our power supply here in town? So I don't know if that's was good or what they were trying to achieve by asking that question. But we informed them where we are, that we are at 100% clean power. It seemed to be fairly receptive to the individual that had asked that question. So now next step that we will be taking, and we'll be bringing it to the planning committee for discussion. A suggestion has been made that we hire a lobbyist to follow our project through the legislative session to make sure it stays in the forefront of our legislators. So more to come on that. Once we have a proposal, once we're able to attain a proposal, we'll start with vetting it out through the planning commission. So in the packet also, the next item on the general manager's report is the announcement of Merlin Sawyer at GRE. Marlon, like Ray retired a couple months ago, which is our lead engineer. Marlon's our finance director there. Down in second last paragraph, it talks about the reputation of Missouri River. And that, in my opinion, is a very accurate statement that Missouri River is looked at as a premier joint action agency across the country, not only in the upper Midwest, but most joint action agencies, they look towards Missouri River for advice and how things are working and what they're doing there. So Missouri River is highly respected out there in the joint action world for municipal power agencies, in addition to having some of the lowest rates, wholesale rates for their customers. So Merlin will be missed when he leaves. Then we have a couple meetings come up. Labor Committee, we got a number of items you can see there. Also, Planning Committee, we got a number of items there. In addition, I'll be adding, like I just noted, the lobbyists at state level to follow our project through the session. And then what's not on here, what we just received notice of here in the last day, is our APPA conference out in DC. And that is February 28th through March 2nd. We will have to have our rooms booked by November 1st as they fill up very fast. November 1st is when the block of rooms will open up for us. So if anybody interested, if it fits in your schedule and you can make it that week, please reach out to Beth so that next week on the first we can make reservations accordingly. So, and one last item. Last meeting, the commission asked if we heard from any of the apartment owners. We indicated that we had not, and we had not. However, this past week here, we have heard from one, and we explained to him the charges and stuff, and there may be some additional follow-up required there. We're still waiting on them to provide additional information for us. So other than that, at this point, we have not heard from anyone else, so just one customer at this point in time. So that would conclude my update, unless there's questions.
Any questions? All right, if not, is there anything else to come before the commission today? Councilman O'Brien.
I'd just like to thank Jeremy O'Hearn for his presentation to the council the last meeting. And so just not only from the council, but from the people who are listening as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Anything else? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.